Have you ever overheard someone talking about you behind your back and they were saying something really nice? Feels good, doesn't it? That feels even better than if they say it to you directly sometimes. The power we have in our tongues to build people up is amazing. Are you using that power?
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Right while Paul calls these women out by name in front of everyone, he starts talking them up. He talks to them in verse 2. He talks about them in verse 3. But when he's talking about them, everything he says is positive. Everything he says is positive. And again, something that we need to learn from Paul. Good gossip. Build people up behind their backs. And Paul doesn't just do that here for the sake of resolving this dispute. This is a way of life. Paul always did this. You can just look at the way Paul talked about people. It's amazing. You go back to chapter 2, and you look at the way he talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus. You know, I have deep respect for Epaphroditus. I love that man. I have so much respect for him. And the only thing I know about him is some third-hand information I have from eavesdropping on Paul talking to some other people about Epaphroditus. Good gossip. You know, it's fine to talk about people behind their back. As long as when you're done talking, the person you're talking to now has a higher opinion of the person you were talking about than they did before. Okay? So this is something you may not hear every day from a Bible teacher, but let's do this. Let's talk about each other behind our backs. Okay? Let's do it. And when the conversation starts, just have a conscious goal. By the time this conversation is over, I am determined to see to it that this person I'm talking to has a higher opinion of so-and-so than they had to begin with. And that's my goal. My objective is to boost this person's reputation. I'm going to get that done in this conversation. Someone's name comes up in a conversation, and I am going to appoint myself as that person's own personal PR firm. How would you like it if people did that for you? How would you like it if just like 20 or 30 people were doing that on a regular basis for you? Not the whole church, just 20 or 30 people in your church paid close attention to your strengths and paid close attention to the good things that you do, and they just made it their objective to bring the best things about you to light, to bring them to other people's attention. People, if they were doing that, 20, 30 people, people would like you more, people would trust you more, people who need your gifts would know where to look to find what they need. People who struggle in those areas would have an example to follow because they could watch you in your areas of strength, and your example could bring spiritual growth to people without you even knowing what was going on, just because they're watching you. So let's do this. Let's just do this. Paul did it, and we're commanded multiple times in this book, follow Paul's example. Think of the impact that this would have on church conflicts. You make it your business to go around making sure everybody in the church has a really high opinion of both parties in the conflict. No petty church split will ever be able to get off the ground, right, if we have this attitude. And please understand, when I say this, I'm not talking about flattery. You can't just make up random positive stuff. It has to be stuff that's true. So it requires some effort. It means you're going to have to be on the lookout for things that people are doing right, which is another thing Paul teaches us by example. And you can just pick up on this just reading Philippians, how good he is at this. Remember back in chapter 2 when Paul told them, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Remember that verse? Look what he said right before he gave that command. In Philippians 2:12, he says this, if you want to just flip back there. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, willing to act. So before commanding future obedience, he praises them for their past obedience. He noticed it, and he praises them for it. He loved doing that. Paul loved pointing out good things that people were doing. And I think we can really learn from that, especially those in leadership, in church leadership. You know, I have to say, from listening to some pastors, you get the feeling that all the saints ever do is sin. especially like a new pastor comes out of seminary. And, you know, those guys that they just rail against sin. It's all they ever do in this. And you just get the feeling that, and a lot, some non-preachers are the same way. There's some people in the church that all they ever do is criticize. Everything's negative. You get the impression that no church in the modern era is doing it right. They can tell you the last 10 churches that they were at, how they were just totally blowing it. Those churches were just blowing it. But if you ask them, if you say, of all the hundreds, thousands of churches in the Denver area, which ones are doing it right? They'll look at you like a cow staring at a new gate. They won't even know what to say. But not Paul. He saw what's good. Same thing with Jesus. He looks at those churches in Revelation 2 and 3 that had all those horrible problems, and look how much good stuff he has to say to them. Now, it's not to say Paul didn't address problems. He did. Nobody was stronger than Paul when it came to dealing with sin and error in the congregation, but he was just as eager to rejoice in the good things that God was doing in the congregation. And Jesus was the same way in Revelation 2 and 3. He describes a horrible church, and then he praises them for some little thing they're doing right. You get upset with a church, ask yourself, am I dealing with this church the same way that Jesus dealt with the churches in Revelation 2 and 3? Am I affirming my love for them, which he did church after church?
Think of one or two people you really love. In the next few days, see if you can find some opportunities to talk to someone else about them, to spread the news about something wonderful about them. Even if the person you're talking to already knows, if you affirm it, that still strengthens that person's love for the one you're talking about. Now think of someone that's a little harder to love. Can you think of a few positive things to say to someone about them? Give it a try. Wouldn't you like to be a person who talks like that more often than you do now? How much happiness would you be able to spread around, not to mention the increased joy in your own heart? You have a powerful tool in your mouth. Use it.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.